Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. It is Tuesday and time for book picks. It's a time where we get a list from our independent booksellers of the week. Jim Havner of Green Toad Bookstore in Oneonta, New York, joins us this morning to share some of the very cool books and some great authors who have made their way to store shelves this season, even if stores aren't open entirely. Jim, good morning. Welcome. Very nice to have you aboard.
Good morning, Joe. It's good to hear your voice.
And to you, sir. Thank you very much. So give us a sense of the current status of Green Toad.
Well, we've been in this crisis for over a couple of months, and we've been very successful with curbside and home deliveries. We've had a couple of, for example, campaigns to get books to school kids. We've started a program called Hop on Books, and local people have donated. And I have to say is that our base of book readers in this community has really been strong. So even though revenues are down significantly, we've still been able to keep the lights on and ready to go.
Excellent. Well, that's good news. And certainly no shortage of good books out there. So let us begin with your first pick.
Well, the first one I'd like to talk about is A Thousand Moons by Sebastian Barry. And it's a nice historical novel. And the basic story is Winona Nicole, who's an orphan child of Lakota Indians, she finds herself growing up in an unconventional household on a farm in West Tennessee. She's raised by her adoptive parents, John Cole and Thomas McNulty, whose story Sebastian Barry told in his acclaimed previous novel, Dogs Without End. Tennessee is a state still riven by the bitter legacy of the Civil War, and the fragile harmony of her family is soon threatened by a further traumatic event, one that Winona struggles to confront, let alone understand. Exquisitely written, A Thousand Moons is a stirring, poignant story of love and redemption, of one woman's journey and her determination to write her own future.
The name of the book is A Thousand Moons by Sebastian Barry. Okay, next up.
The next book I have is a book by a Japanese author, Miyako Kawakami, called Breasts and Eggs. And Breasts and Eggs tells the story of three women. There's a 30-year-old Natsuko, her older sister Makiko, and Makiko's daughter, Madero Riko. Makiko has traveled to Tokyo in search of an affordable breast enhancement procedure. She is accompanied by Madero Riko, who has recently grown silent, finding herself unable to voice the vague but overwhelming pressures associated with growing up. Her silence proves a catalyst for each woman to confront her fears and frustrations. On a hot summer's day 10 years later, Natsuko, on a journey back to her native city, struggles with her own indeterminate identity as she confronts anxieties about growing old alone. Kawakami, who exploded onto the cultural scene first as a musician, then as a poet and a blogger, has really kind of risen to write a wonderful book with great prose style and wry humor and a riveting emotional depth.
It is Breasts and Eggs by Miyako Kawakami. All right, next up.
Next up is an Irish writer who I've been following for several years, Amir McBride, and she has a new work out called Strange Hotel, and she writes very experimentally. The book is written very similar to Carl Nosgaard's kind of auto-fiction, but it really has a really emotional impact to it. This story is about a nameless woman as she enters a hotel room. She's been there once before. In the years since, the room hasn't changed, but she has. And she's kind of forever caught between the check-in and the check-out. And she will go on to occupy other hotel rooms. From Avignon to Oslo, Auckland to Austin, each is as anonymous as the last, but bound by the rules of her choosing. Amid the detritus of her travels, the matchbooks, cigarettes, keys, and room service wine, she negotiates with her memories, with the men she sometimes meets, with the cliches invented to abrogate a middle-aged woman, with those she has lost or left behind, and with what it might mean to return home. The book is wonderful. It's filled with black humor and desire and is a novel of enduring emotional force.
The name of the book is Strange Hotel by Amir McBride. All right. Next.
And now I'd want to switch to a little bit of nonfiction. A wonderful book has come out by Julian Barnes, The Man in the Red Coat. And it tells this really fascinating story. What I love about Julian Barnes, he really writes about art and culture really, really well. This book is in the summer of begins in the summer of 1885, and there are three Frenchmen arrive in London for a few days intellectual shopping, a prince, an account, and a commoner with an Italian name. In time, each of these men would achieve a certain level of renown, but who were they then, and what was the significance of their sojourn to England? Barnes, answering these questions, unfurls the stories of their lives, which play out against the backdrop of the Belle Epoque in Paris. Our guide through this world is Samuel Pazzi, the society doctor, free thinker, and a man of science, with a famously complicated private life who was subject of one of John Singer Sargent's greatest portraits. It's a vivid tapestry of people, Henry James, Sarah Bernhardt, Oscar Wilde, Proust, James Whistler, among many others. Place and time, we see not merely an epoch of glamour and pleasure, but surprisingly one of violence and prejudice and nativism, with more parallels to our own age than we might imagine. The Man in the Red Coat is at once a fresh portrait of the Belle Epoque and an illuminating look at the long-standing exchange of ideas between Britain and France, and a life of a man who lived passionately in the moment, but whose ideas and achievements were far ahead of his time. And it actually has, to me, one of the most gorgeous covers that I've seen on a book.
Beautiful, yeah.
The portrait of John Singer Sargent with just the red coat. It's just stunning, and it really is in that. So, The Man in Red Coat.
By Julian Barnes. All right, finally.
Finally, in Praise of Walking by Shane O'Mara. Shane O'Mara is a neuroscientist who invites us to marvel at the benefits of walking, what it confers on our bodies and our brains, and appreciate the advantages of this uniquely human skill. And since we are walking a lot more than we have been in the past, he goes from walking's evolutionary origins and traces them back millions of years to new findings of cutting-edge research. He really, really talks about the synthesis of how the brain and nervous system give us the ability to balance, weave through a crowded city, which many aren't now, and run our inner GPS. Besides what is good for us for walking, besides our muscles and posture, it helps protect and repair organs and can slow or turn back the aging of our brains. With our minds in motion, we think more creatively. Our mood improves and stress levels fall. Walking together to achieve a shared purpose is also a social glue that has contributed to our survival as a species. And so it's a wonderful book on dealing with science and with health and with the absolute joy of just getting out and walking in the nice fresh air.
The name of the book is In Praise of Walking by Shane O'Mara. For more information on the Green Toad Bookstore and the great work they do, you can go to their website, greentoadbookstore.com. GreenToadBookstore.com. They are at 198 Main Street in Oneonta. Jim, thank you very much for being with us. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Stay
safe. It's a pleasure to be with you, too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You can see Jim's list at WAMC.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.